God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
I love Bible conferences, especially ones that last for 3 days. Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Larry. This year, we're having our conference in Columbus, Ohio, the dates, September the 24th through the 26th. It is at the Embassy Suites, Columbus Airport. It is very close to the airport as well as the interstate. We will have a large variety of books and DVDs available. We have several regulars who have been coming to Gettysburg, PA, where we have been for several years, but we could not secure the Wyndham in September or October for this year. Frankly, I don't know what I will be speaking on. There's so many things that the Lord has put on my heart. You come, and we have several well-known speakers, including Billy Crone, Derek Gilbert, Carl Gallups, Bill Federer, Dr. Joe Cristiano, and the Raging Cajun, David Benoit, plus others. We have a huge lineup. This is already June. It's time to make plans for our Columbus, Ohio East Coast Prophecy Conference. For more information, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. On today's program, Dr. Robert Jeffress will be talking to us about praying for America. Quote our President Donald Trump, "We don't need less prayer, we need more prayer." We're back with Pastor Robert Jeffress, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. In our previous program, we were talking about Dr. Jeffress' new book, Praying for America. Thank you, Dr. Jeffress, for being back on the show.
Great to be with you, Larry.
On the back of the book, you refer to Lincoln's proclamation appointing a national day of prayer and fasting, and it begins with these words, "We have forgotten God." And certainly, as Americans, we need to get back with the Lord. There has been, especially under President Obama, a big discussion as to whether or not we are a Christian nation. But one of the things that's really encouraging me is that I'm seeing a lot of Christians get politically involved, praying, making an effort to do the right thing. So my question really is, what makes praying for America different from other prayer guides?
Well, my book is built around 40 inspiring stories from American history that illustrate how faith has made a difference in the destiny of our country. And I tell stories from the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, the Civil Rights Movement, our space program, all kind of examples of where God has intervened miraculously in the direction of our country. You know, Psalm 9:17 warns that the nations who forget God will perish. And Larry, it's my belief that the psalmist was right when he said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And you know, God is not a respecter of people or nations. This offends some people when I say it, but I say it nevertheless. God doesn't get goosebumps when he hears the Star Spangled Banner. He doesn't stand up and salute when the American flag passes by. He does not respect any people or any nation. His principle is the same. Any nation that reverences God will be blessed by God. And any nation that rejects God will be rejected by God. Fortunately, our forefathers understood that truth. And you know, if you listen to the liberals give the account of American history, they've rewritten American history. They will tell our children that America was founded mainly by secularists whose overriding passion was to make sure that no element of faith ever mixed with public life. I mean, that view of American history belongs right up there with George Washington and the cherry tree. It's a myth. It never happened. America was founded by predominantly Orthodox Christian men and women who founded this nation upon the principles that are rooted in God's Word.
One of the prayers in your book encourages readers to seize opportunities. What are some of the opportunities that Christians have to influence our nation today? And I'm not just speaking about being a president, but Christians in every walk of life, from the bugle player or whatever, the high school band teacher. What are some of the opportunities that we need to seize and to make the most of?
Well, one of those opportunities we're living through right now. It is a once-in-a-100-year experience, this pandemic, that we are still in the midst of right now and suffering the effects of it emotionally, spiritually, economically. many people are still very, very frightened and hurting and questioning. Suicides are up. Medical professionals are worried about tremendous drug overdoses and addictions kicking back in. But this is a great opportunity for us, Larry, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. You know, Paul said in Philippians 1:12, I rejoice in my circumstances, for I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for the progress, the furtherance of the gospel. What were Paul's circumstances? Well, he was in quarantine, so to speak. He was actually in prison, facing what could have been his execution. But he said, I rejoice in this because my passion is to make Christ known, and there's never been a better time to do that than right now. And I would say the same is true for us, Larry. You know, this pandemic has revealed a lot about the character of Christians. Some Christians have been shaken to the foundation. They're so upset that they're having to stay inside and watch Netflix. You know, it's interesting what this says about people. But if your goal in life is peace, prosperity, pleasure, the absence of pain, then these are truly horrifying days. But if your goal is like that of the Apostle Paul, to share Christ, you've never had a better opportunity to do this. I know in our own church, the First Baptist Church of Dallas, since this pandemic has begun, we have seen over 17,000 people professing Christ as Savior through our iCampus and our broadcast. People are hungry to hear the gospel. And I would just encourage every one of your listeners, where you're working, it's in your neighborhood, in your family, seize the opportunity we have right now to present Christ.
I know when I went to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, I graduated in 1983 with a PhD in New Testament, but my wife and I and daughter, we would frequently drive all the way to Dallas. We had a little gray Toyota chugged along, and we got to Dallas. And there's something about First Baptist Church of Dallas. I think it's still there with you, but it was kind of a little big church. You didn't get the – everybody was so friendly, so nice. Loved Dr. Criswell. He just preached the word. He'd come out with his white shoes and his white suit on and a red tie or something of the sort. And I think from a few people that I know who attend First Baptist, they're so happy. They're so delighted. I think it's, you know, that you're there and that it's a mega church that is just right down the line with doctrine, with prophecy, your series on Revelation. But excellent. And I think you say to all of us, you know, you don't have to pussyfoot through the tulips to have a great church. Preach the word, brother.
Yeah. And you know something, of course, I grew up in that church. Dr. Criswell was my pastor all of my life. And one thing he did, interestingly, he told the deacons at one point he wanted to put kneelers in the pews. Now, that was a revolutionary idea, putting kneelers, and no Baptist church had kneelers. But he felt like when people prayed, they ought to be on their knees. And so they put kneelers in the pews, and we still have those in our pews because it's a time for people to kneel down before the Lord. And it just shows that prayer is essential to the moving of God. And I think any church that is going to be blessed by God has to be blessed based on the preaching of God's word, but also on prayer.
I know in our program, we're doing a series on the Hebrides Revival, and these two elderly ladies, I think the Smith sisters, Christine and Peggy, one was blind and one was hunched over, but they had such a burden, they began to pray. And as you read Duncan Campbell's account, we have and you can get it on the internet, a transcript of a lecture or a message he gave. They began to pray, I think it was Tuesday and Thursday evenings, or maybe Tuesday and Friday evenings, from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. And Duncan Campbell says, you know, when I got there, God was already there. Prayer brought the Lord down. And some of the testimonies, you know, he got there like at 9 o'clock at night. He was tired. He had taken a steamship and a train and so on and so forth. He wanted to go to bed. And so somebody said, well, let's just have a short meeting at church. Well, they went until 4 o'clock the next morning. And you know, the crowds were bigger and bigger. And then he was just exhausted, Duncan Campbell. And somebody said, come, you have to come to the jail. And he said, wait, you know, is this a breakout? No, there are about 400 or 500 people there. Prayer, that's how it started, with these two elderly ladies who had such a burden for their church, because they said there were hardly any young people there. There was no life, and they were looking forward to the Lord coming in power. Wow, what a testimony to the power of prayer.
Well, and you know, Larry, a lot of our listeners may right now say, well, you know, I realize I need to pray for America and not just worry or complain about America, but pray for America. But how do I do that? And that's what my book, Praying for America, is about. In every chapter, in each of the 40 chapters, and they're only two or three pages long, I tell an inspiring story about how prayers made a difference in our country. But then I suggest a prayer to pray for a different aspect of American life. How we should pray for first responders, how we ought to pray for the president, how we can pray for our judges, how we can pray for teachers. And there's our America is made up of many different components and facets of life. And to pray for America means to pray specifically for these areas of American life. And I hope people will pick up a copy of the book and they will commit to praying for the next 40 days for our country. Not only are we in a pandemic right now, we're getting ready for the most controversial, divisive election in recent memory. We need to pray for healing in our country and a great coming together of people.
Well, it's chapter 26. You say that we need to pray for Christians to produce godly art with excellence. And then you say this, God invented art. I'm really a fan of Dr. Francis Schaeffer. He made an observation on Genesis 2, verse 9, where the Bible says that God made every tree grow, quote, that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. In other words, a statement about aesthetics first, pleasant to the sight, comes before good for food. And then you write about Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, and so on. I think that's so important. We need to pray that we would get involved in godly art. So much of the art today is just, it's way out. It's about the only thing I can say about it. I think the art is a reflection of the soul of a people. And I think if we had Christians in art, producing godly art. I'm thinking of the Kendrick brothers at Sherwood Baptist Church, fireproof, courageous, and all of that. I know people who would never go to a church, but they go to the movies to see those movies, and they get saved. Wow,
that's
what a
right.
Testimony.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, what Satan does is he takes good things and perverts them into evil. He takes God's creation and perverts it for his own use. And I think Christians have been called, again, to be the salt and light, which means they need to penetrate every part of life. You know, we have a member of our church, and he was a very successful businessman, and he decided God was calling him to be in politics for a period of time, not the rest of his life. But he gave up what he had, and he decided to become mayor of Dallas, and he did it. And he had a tremendous influence, spiritual influence on our city. God calls men and women, his representatives, to be in every area of life.
Right, and the chapter 11, another one that really hit me hard, praying for our troops. You speak about, you say if you're living in freedom anywhere on earth today, it is because of the United States military. And I know sometimes the military has gotten bad press, and we think of the My Lai massacre and so forth. Those are exceptions. But I think the military is so important. If we didn't have a president like Donald Trump who wants to see the military be strong, we would be overrun. I mean, President Xi in China, you know, he's got these two huge aircraft carriers, Chinese aircraft carriers moving toward Taiwan. He wants to roll into Hong Kong. We have several friends in Hong Kong. My wife is from Hong Kong. We need the military. Of course, we believe in God's grace and his goodness, but without the military, wow, we'd be sitting ducks. And I think we need men and women in the military who know the Lord and who do right.
And we've got plenty of them there, and we need to pray for those Christians especially. I think of several I know right now in very high levels of command who are really day and night thinking about how do we protect America.
I happen to know one chaplain. You met him when we were in Dallas, Pastor James Collins. He's pastoring in Fort Scott, Kansas. But what a godly man. What a godly wife and family. And I used to be his professor in Bible college. And all through the years, he prays. He believes in the family. He believes in our country. And I know there are many, many chaplains in the military today. I think their hands are somewhat tied. But I pray for chaplains, and I know that men and women go to the military, they're depressed, maybe they're suffering from PTSD. In fact, he's written a book, tremendous book, about the influence that good Christian chaplains can have on men and women in the military who are sometimes really having deep problems.
Well, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for our police officers, law enforcement, the pressure they're under. My brother was a Dallas policeman for 30 years. I mean, the Bible calls our soldiers and our law enforcement officials ministers of God in Romans chapter 13. They are as much of a minister as I am. They have a different function. They're to punish evildoers and keep society in order and check, but they are instruments of God, and we need to treat them with respect, and we need to offer prayers on their behalf.
Well, friends, we're coming up to the end of our program. I do want to thank Dr. Jeffers for being with us. Pastor Jeffers, thank you so much. It's always a delight. I know we always get a good response from our audience.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for making people aware of my new book, Praying for America.
I guarantee, friends, that the book, Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation, will inspire and challenge you. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how to get Dr. Robert Jeffers' new book.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the brand new book by Pastor Robert Jeffers titled Praying for America. I don't know about you, but it couldn't have come at a better time. You can have a copy for a gift of $22 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To get yours, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. You can always order online on our website at swrc.com. While you are there, take a look around at our special offers and videos. Here again is Pastor Larry.
You know, Marvin, Southern Baptist leaders have issued a joint statement on the death of George Floyd. Frankly, it's a very troubling statement. As I read it, I was troubled in my spirit. Now, what it says is good, but it left the other half out, a very important part. That's what is troubling about it. Let me quote. I quote it, "As a convention of churches committed to the equality and dignity of all people, Southern Baptists grieve the death of George Floyd, who was killed May the 25th, 2020 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. While all must grieve, we understand that in the hearts of our fellow citizens of color, incidents like these connect to a long history of unequal justice in our country, going back to the grievous Jim Crow and slavery eras," close quotes. You know, Marvin, I don't know a single person, white or black, who is not deeply grieved by this murder of George Floyd. We're all agreed the murder of George Floyd was wrong. But what about the violence, the destruction of property, looting, stealing, and bodily injuries done to innocent people? What about the store owners who have had their property burned and looted? Why doesn't the leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention speak out against that? It's evil behavior. It needs to be rebuked. We need moral clarity from Christians, and we're certainly not getting it in this statement from the Southern Baptist Convention.
The statement continues with, quote, "While we thank God for our law enforcement officers who bravely risk their lives for the sake of others and hold justice and dignity and integrity, we also lament when some law enforcement officers misuse their authority and bring unnecessary harm on the people they are supposed to protect," close quotes.
Yes, indeed. Some law enforcement officers misuse their authority. We've seen several examples of that during the coronavirus lockdowns where citizens have been harassed and treated despicably by some police officers. However, what the Southern Baptist statement omitted was to clearly point out that the riots were not protests. They were violent and vicious acts of people who were not interested in protesting police violence. Their only goal was to loot and burn and attack people. There are some today who talk about social justice. They talk about white privilege. They carry signs that read, "Black Lives Matter." There can be no social justice when people are rioting. Nothing but gross injustice when people who had nothing to do with the George Floyd death are beaten and have their property destroyed. When the church speaks on social issues, we need to tell the whole story and speak against evil. These senseless riots are pure evil. This is the work of the devil. Our problem is not racism, it's lawlessness.
You're right, Pastor Larry. It's pointless for the Southern Baptist leadership to condemn racism and yet remain silent on violence. On Monday evening, June the 1st, four St. Louis police officers were shot during protests in the city's downtown area. Two in the leg, one in the foot, and one in the arm. In Las Vegas, Nevada, an officer was shot in the head at the Circus Circus Hotel and Casino on the Strip. Local TV reported that the officer was in a fight with another suspect when someone walked up behind them and shot the officer in the head, who is now on life support. In Buffalo, New York, an SUV plowed through a group of police officers during a Floyd demonstration, injuring at least two officers.
Marvin, this is insane violence, violence for the sake of violence. The latest wave of protests came after President Trump vowed, in a Rose Garden speech, to restore law and order, and police under federal command forced back peaceful demonstrators with tear gas so we could walk to a church near the White House known as the Church of the President. The church was set on fire during a night of rioting. President Trump is seen in a photo holding a Bible as he visits outside St. John's Church across Lafayette Park from the White House. The president demanded an end to the violence and vowed to use more force to achieve that aim. If governors throughout the country do not deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers to dominate the streets, the president said, the U.S. military would step in to quickly solve the problem for them. And I thank God for the president. We see moral clarity with our president that we don't even find in some Christian churches and denominations, and that is tragic.
In a day gone by, a classic radio, then television program, ended with people asking the question, who was that masked man? As a hero, rode away on his white horse. The answer was always, why, he's the Lone Ranger. Today, he might be the COVID Stranger. Posted on BearingArms.com May 15, 2020, was an article by Tom Knighton that was no surprise. It stated that COVID-19 has changed a lot of things for a lot of people. Among those who saw the changes were prisoners who were suddenly released from their incarcerations. Combine their release with the requirement that all of us wear a mask, and you don't have to be an Einstein to see what will result. And Santa Ana, California police confirmed Thursday that robberies in the city have increased by 50% since the lockdown. In an April robbery, a thief hit his face with a bandana at a donut shop. The cashier was caught off guard when the thief pulled out a gun and placed it on the counter. The thief then emptied both cash registers before getting away. It's the norm, Corporal Anthony Bertagna with Santa Ana Police Department said. So we're seeing more and more suspects wearing the mask and using that to their benefit. Now let me think about this. Release hardened criminals into unrestricted public freedom from prison before their sentences are fulfilled, release them with no job, no home, no follow-up, allow them to wear a mask, and you expect a good result? You must be a liberal politician. We can hope their terms are up for re-election this year. Police said they were not exactly sure why there had been such an increase in robberies, but said it could be related to the number of inmates released from area jails due to the pandemic. While for some of us a mask improves our appearance, for one whose aim is to do harm, it couldn't be a better situation to return to a life of crime. Jeremiah 5:26a says, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay in wait as he that setteth snares. But there is hope." Proverbs 29:16 assures us, "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall." From TheBlaze.com, May 18th, 2020, comes an article that can be filed in the folder titled, "Why is that not a surprise?" The coronavirus outbreak protection model that predicted more than 2 million U.S. deaths has been deemed totally unreliable by experts who have examined its coding, Fox News reported. The model programmed by Neil Ferguson of the United Kingdom's Imperial College helped convince the governments of the United States and the United Kingdom to implement severe lockdowns to slow the spread of the virus, and the frightening projections the model created also motivated public support of such measures early on. But the Imperial College model appears incapable of meeting even the lowest scientific standards. If scientists run the model two times with the same data, it produces different results. From Fox News, the Imperial model works by using various codes to predict how coronavirus would spread. Researchers released the code behind it, which developers have criticized as being unreadable. Scientists from the University of Edinburgh have further claimed that it is impossible to reproduce the same results from the same data using the same model from the same machines. One tech company founder told the Daily Telegraph that such poor work wouldn't be acceptable in any business context. "In our commercial reality," he said, "we would fire anyone for developing a code like this, and any business that relied on it to produce software for any sale would likely go bust," according to David Richards, co-founder of the British tech company WANdisco. The unfortunate thing is the whole world followed false information, and we may never be able to undo the damage caused.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the brand new book by Pastor Robert Jeffress titled Praying for America. I don't know about you, but it couldn't have come at a better time. You can have a copy for a gift of $22 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To get yours, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. You can always order online on our website at swrc.com. While you are there, take a look around at our special offers and videos.
If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button. We also have a YouTube channel. We have over 70 videos that are free to watch and enjoy on YouTube.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at the same time when Pastor Larry talks with Paul Skousen on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.